Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Sport Ireland has published guidance on the inclusion of transgender and non-binary people in sport, saying it's become an important issue for sports organisations and is attracting increasing scrutiny, they say, at a societal level. Their focus was on inclusion and fairness and trying to understand everyone's needs, they say. Sports journalist Cliona Foley joins us now. Good to talk to you, Cliona. What is in the guidance?
Well, it's a very general guidance, as you'd expect, Cormac. They put a consultant to work on this in the past year, as you said, because they're increasingly getting queries, and because it's a general subject in sport, an increasingly divisive subject in sport. And so they looked at really how did people feel, where do people come down, including people from the LGBTQ community, also the general public. Where do they feel that athletes, transgender and non-binary athletes, where do they fit, and also how can we fit them into our sporting organisations in the best possible and most inclusive way?
Okay, so it's not that they're telling sports organisations here, Sport Ireland, this is what you should do. They're giving the considerations and guidance around the decision-making process. Is that it?
Very much so, yeah. And also acknowledging that actually a lot of sporting organisations are governed in this area by their international federation, so they're not looking to overrule anything. They're saying if you want to put rules, and in fact it's clear they're looking for people to actually put rules in place for this and not be reactive when maybe some controversy blows up. But a lot of them are already ruled by their international rules.
You say, Cliona, one line in the guidance stood out for you. Let me read it for the listeners. While there's a wide range of abilities across the population, males generally outperform females in sport. Physical differences are likely to persist in those who transition, whereby transgender women may retain a performance advantage. Why does that stand out?
Well, it stands out because this is, I suppose, the crux of whenever there's a row over transgender athletes, and particularly female athletes, about them competing in women's sports. There's always this argument about do they carry some physiological advantages from male puberty? And the science, various scientists disagree on this, but actually it seems to be that Sport Ireland are coming down on the side of saying, yes, there is scientific evidence here that they do retain it, and it can retain for several years, but it applies differently in different sports. But if you're a sport that is involved in strength and speed, this is an area that you do need to look at carefully. And okay. Because the argument really is about inclusion or fairness. Everybody wants sport to be inclusive, but there are issues, I think, at times over whether the inclusion of a particular trans female athlete in a female sports area is fair if they're proven scientifically to have it. And of course, this scientific proof, scientists vary over this all the time, Cormac, so it is very contentious.
So then the sporting organisations in the country, Cliona, will have to have regard to this, I'm sure, and come up with their own policies. Will this help, in your opinion?
I think anything that helps here and helps have a reasoned discussion, because this is such a divisive area, I think anything that helps a reasoned discussion of this is good. We've already seen one Irish sporting organisation which doesn't have an international federation, that's the Ladies Gaelic Football. They, in the past year, have created their own rules on this. And interestingly enough, they ruled largely on the safety element of it. There was a controversy when a trans female athlete was questioned by a referee in a junior club game in Dublin in the past year, and that prompted the LGFA to put together their own policy on this. And their policy on this is largely based on risk, in other words, you know, the risk of danger to anybody else. And they so if you're a trans female and you want to play ladies Gaelic football, you have to apply under a special application form to become a member, and it's ruled on the levels of testosterone as well.
Okay,
so
on a
they
case
have
by
a very
case
specific
basis.
Case by case okay. basis, exactly. And actually, Sport Ireland say that if you do go down this case, they give several scenarios. They say this is what applies around the world, and one of them is this case by case basis. And they're saying if you go under this case by case basis, then you may have to, you know, you have to have the facilities to be able to test, to do blood testing, to make sure all this stuff is done, that is kept up to date. So they're pointing out really the advantages and disadvantages of how to go about this.
Mm-hmm. And the Sport Ireland guidance is saying that this is all about inclusion and fairness and trying to understand everyone's needs. But I wonder if sporting organisations in this country are afraid to come up with their own policy or decision on this because of how heated the debate can be sometimes on all sides.
I think you're right. And also, I think that informally, some sporting organisations, you know, like the Ladies Gaelic Football, were quietly including people without any fuss or bother. And then something blows up and everybody asks hard questions. My understanding is that Irish Rugby, for example, would have had maybe up to a dozen trans athletes playing rugby at club level up until the fact that they had to make a decision on this because World Rugby made a decision that didn't allow any trans athletes, and then the national, the local unions, if you like, made their own decisions. But up until that, I understand that they had no problem with trans athletes playing at a local club level, on a case-to-case, looking at them by case-to-case basis, judging them on a whole load of criteria. But then once the decision was made by the international World Rugby, then the local federations had to make their own rules, and actually they're pretty much the same as World Rugby now. Mm-hmm. So stuff has happened, I think, under the radar that allows, and I think there's a great case for this, that allows for a trans athlete to be involved, to be in sport, because everybody should be allowed to be involved in sport. The only questions come up is if they are at an advantage or if they create a risk to anybody else in playing those sports. And that's a tiny percentage, and it's very often a tiny percentage at the very elite level. And that's where all of the biggest controversies, if you like, have occurred around all of this. So I think you're right. You know, I thought it was interesting. The one thing that did stand out for me in the sport is that they consulted over a few thousand people on this, as it gave, across a very broad spectrum. But what they actually say is that while many of the LGBTI plus community, transgender, non-binary people and their families are supportive of inclusion through self-identification, this view is not shared by the vast majority of people working and taking part in sport who favour protection of a female category as assigned at birth.
Okay, it's very interesting as an area, but it's very fraught, isn't it, in terms of
it's very fraught.
Yeah.
It is very fraught, and I also think that Sport Ireland are recognising that we're now in an age of much more gender fluidity, and that this question is occurring more and more. Even at a local level, it will occur more and more. You can argue that, you know, that you're making, if you are legislating for this at any stage, you're legislating for a tiny minority. But if there are people who want to play sport, and you know their gender, they transition gender, how do you handle that, and what is fair to them, and how do you handle that to be fair to everybody else as well?
Okay.
It is a huge divisive area, I think, in sport, but it's also one that can't be ignored.
Okay, it's guidance for transgender and non-binary inclusion in sport, published today by Sport Ireland, sports journalist Cliona Foley. Thank you.